Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
Today, what we've been doing this since Easter, every Sunday has been focused on a deeper life with the Lord. Sometimes this is a very foreign topic to talk about in church. As evangelicals, many times our focus is get saved. Okay, we got saved. I accepted Jesus. I'm going to say something and it might sound harsh. So what? You accepted Jesus? Yes, that's it. No, it isn't. I accepted Jesus. Does he live on the second floor in your house and sometimes you visit? Do you keep him in the basement and he works on the furnace? I accepted Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters, right? No, you missed it. You missed the mark. You missed what is called the deeper life. And sometimes within church, the focus is, you know, a spiritual gift will bring you into the deeper life. No. This will bring you into the deeper life. No. Every Sunday, we've been talking about the realization that knowing this, applying this in your life, you can come into a place that's deeper. That you know God, and we've shared this focus from a verse that Jesus shared. He said, I came to give you life more abundant and free. That's why I came. That you can have a life and live in this world and be different from everyone else, and your life is full. And you can face all kinds of things in your life, and you can flourish. We talked about thriving. We talked about the Holy Spirit moving in our life. We talked about how he works, how God's word is relevant in our life. And it's two more than just God's word. How dare you say that? It's applying it in our life and coming forward with God. A deeper life. What does it mean? And today we look at one word. The one word that we're going to look at is that we're satisfied in Jesus. He's caused us to become satisfied. He satisfied that longing that was inside of us. So often over the years when I've talked to people who have substance abuses, they'll be in a substance abuse because there's something that they want to help them cope with life and fill that spot. Sometimes it's relationship to relationship to relationship, because there's not a man or a woman good enough to fill that spot. Sometimes it's activities that we're involved in and we have to go deeper into those activities and it costs more. And then after a while we say, what are we doing? And it doesn't fill that spot. But you can come to know how to be satisfied in this world that we're living in. And it doesn't mean it holds us back. To be satisfied doesn't mean that you don't want to flourish in your business. Or that you don't want to prosper in something, or that you don't want to advance. That has nothing to do with being satisfied. It's being satisfied in Christ and he filling that spot inside of us, and we feel complete in knowing him. We know him. We walk with him. We come close to him. It's real. There was a furniture company, Lorette Furniture Company, and the business was doing pretty good. It's still a small business, only about 25 employees. And they make furniture, custom furniture, hardwood furniture. They make furniture they sell in a wholesale environment. And Mr. Lorette was looking for new employees. So there was a young man, and his name was Stephen. And Stephen had never worked a full-time job before. He was right out of high school. And he came and filled out an application. Mr. Lorette talked to him and he said, you can go down here and work with Tom. He'll show you the ins and outs of our company. We'll find a place for you in the company and something that you can help the company in. I'm going to be watching you. And so right away, Stephen starts work. And Mr. Lorette has these iron stairs that go up the side of the warehouse. And his office is up here. It looks like on the second story. And he has a big picture window and a glass door. And he often comes out on the balcony and just kind of looks over the balcony and sees everybody and all the work being done. And he kept his eye on Stephen. And he started noticing that Stephen would show up on time for work. And Stephen went right back to work after breaks and lunch. And when there wasn't something right then that he was to carry or help or hold and saw or plane or do different things, he just picked up a broom and started sweeping. He did things without being told. And he did good work. And Tom came up to Mr. Lorette and said, "He's doing a good job. I really like the kid. He has a good attitude." After a few weeks, Mr. Lorette came up to Steve and put his arm around him and said, "I'm very satisfied with your work. You're doing what I want you to do. I'm satisfied with what you're doing." That word satisfied means to be complete. It means to be comfortable, to have an expectation and come to a place that we're settled in it, that we're satisfied, a completeness within us, satisfied. And we look at that word and we think of it in this deeper life that we're focusing on. There's a couple of verses that I want to share with you. Matthew 5:6 says, "God blesses those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be satisfied." The word righteousness is one of those church Christian words. All it simply means is to be like Christ. Those who have a thirst and hunger to be like Christ will be satisfied. If you hunger and thirst for this, you'll be satisfied. It's more than Jesus on the second story and down in the basement. "I'm saved. I got saved. I accepted Jesus." Awesome. You accepted the promise, but there's much more. Amen. There's this deeper life. It's walking with God. Oftentimes in Christian realm, we say, "He's sanctified. He's been set apart." Well, let's just call it something simple. He's satisfied in the Lord. He knows who God is, and God is his everything, is her everything, family's everything. They're satisfied in him. I'm satisfied. God fills that spot in my life. Psalm 63, if you want to turn there. Another passage. Psalm 63. And here it shares with us verse 1. "O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy." Satisfied in God. Are we satisfied in him? I want to share with you just a few people in the Bible who they came to be satisfied in different situations. There was a man who was told by God, "Go up on this mountain and I want you to sacrifice your son." I mean, it sounds very barbaric, but that's what God wanted him to do, be willing to do and have faith to do. God was asking him to do this so that God could show his plan. So this father took his teenage son and they went up on this mountain. And as they're going up on this mountain, the son says, "Are we going up to sacrifice?" And he says, "Where's the sacrifice?" They get up on the top of the mountain. "Here, help me move these rocks." They move these rocks around. They make like a table with these rocks. His son is looking up at the sky. The father grabs his two hands and ties them behind his back. And he lays them across the rock. And he takes his hand and holds it on his son's throat. And he holds up a knife. And he's ready to kill his son on top of this rock. How barbaric. His knife is in the air and God says, "Stop." He looks over in the bushes and there's a little lamb or goat there caught by the horns. And he says, "I'll provide the sacrifice. You're not going to have to kill your son, but my son will be killed for the sin of the world." It was all pointing towards the Jesus thing. But you know what? This man, Abraham, was satisfied in coming down off of the mountain and his son living and knowing that God would provide his son one day. There was a cursed city. This cursed city was Jericho. When the walls came tumbling down, God's words were, "Cursed is anyone who builds a city back." And there was a man who lived in this cursed city, and he had probably the worst thing that could happen to us. I know it's hard, and there's lots of people that face this in their life, this physical disability, and I would think of any sense that would be taken from us, this would be the worst sense that would be taken from us, our eyesight. I mean, I think I can, I'm already doing it some, I can live without hearing. Taste doesn't matter, just gobble down the food. You know, these different kind of senses, smell, but not to be able to see, how hard that would be. You can hear people talking about color, somebody's face, something they saw, how green the mountains are today, all these different things, and you can't see it. And this man was unable to see from his birth. He never saw anything in his whole life. He just would hear people describe things. And he heard that this Jesus, the healer, the Son of David, was coming to his city that day. And he heard the crowd and he heard the footsteps of people as they were coming into the city. And he stood up, he took off his cloak, and he said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me!" And everyone said, "Would you shut up? You're disturbing the crowd." And he yelled all the louder. And Jesus heard him, and Jesus came up to him. "What do you want me to do?" "Lord, I want to be able to see like these people see." And Jesus, I can just picture this whole thing. Jesus puts his hands on both sides of his face, and he says, "Open your eyes." And the first thing he ever saw in his whole life was the face of Jesus, God himself, right in front of him. He saw it, and you know what? He was very satisfied. He allowed me to see. And I imagine he had concerns about work. He had concerns now about where he's going to live and different things he's going to do because all this is new to him. But the thing in him was he never woke up ever again. And he went like this, and he never forgot who Jesus was, and he was very satisfied. He gave you sight too, spiritual sight. He came into our lives. Cleopas was a little disheartened because Jesus died on the cross and was dead. He's walking with one of his friends on the road going to the city of Emmaus, and they're walking together. They're talking about this Jesus, and all of a sudden this guy comes walking up next to him with a hoodie on, and they can't see his face. And he's talking to him. And they're amazed by the things that he's saying, and they say to him, "Did you hear about that Jesus in Jerusalem?" And he continues in his talking. Then all of a sudden, he's not there. He disappeared. And do you know what they did? They stopped and they said, "Didn't that remind you of Jesus? The things that he said and the way that he spoke?" And they became very satisfied because Jesus showed up in a little while in a room and just appeared. That was him, wasn't it? That was Jesus. Very satisfied. Do you know this guy? He was always satisfied with Jesus. There were times in his life that he got very depressed, anxious, all tore up, but he didn't stay there long because his life was satisfied in Jesus. King David. Awesome. He wrote Psalm 103. And I love this psalm because in this psalm, he says something that nobody else said. I want God to bless me all the time, don't you? "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." I want all that blessing coming to me. David stops for a minute because he had been satisfied in God. And really, he's doing this to God. God is before him and he puts his hands on God. And he says, "I want to bless you." That's what he said. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." How many people give a blessing back to God? Here it comes. Why could he do that? Because he was satisfied. God fills me up. God works in me. God ministered. Do you remember that guy? And his name was Elisha. I love this guy. He's a farmer. Farmers are hardworking, different kind of people. You know, they get up early in the morning. They go to bed at late. It was a lifestyle. It was handed down by their fathers. They don't know anything but this. This is their livelihood. They don't go on vacations. They don't do different things that other people do. It's a lifestyle. Elisha was a very good farmer. In fact, he had several hands working for him. I think it was 12 yoke of oxen. That'd be like having 12 John Deere tractors with 7 bottom plows on every one of them. And they're out plowing his fields up. They're working for him. And God moves on him. You're going to be one of my prophets. You're coming after Elijah. And he's going to put his cloak on you. Me? Yep. Okay. I'm done. Do you know what he did? He took all his tractors, put them in a big pile, and burned them all up. Didn't have tractors back then, if you didn't know that. But he took his plows and put them all together. Then he took all of his oxen, and they made a big sacrifice and burned them all. And he gave it all to God. He took his lifestyle and threw it all away. And he said, I'm satisfied in God and being his prophet. I am not turning back. I have burned the plow. I am done. I am going to do what. Do you know how hard that is? Do you know that there are a lot of farmers, they go into suicide when they lose their farms? They don't know anything. When they had the dairy buyout up north, and all these dairy farms shut, there were farmers distraught, depressed, defeated. They didn't know what to do. They'd done this all their life. Their grandfather did it. Their father did it. And now it comes to them and they're not doing it. Everything is gone. He gladly gave up everything because God called him. He's satisfied in God. I want God more than anything in my life. This guy, in the Jewish community, is called the greatest prophet of the entire Old Testament. His wife, who he married and gave him some children, she came from a bad lifestyle, but she went into sex trafficking, and he went and bought her back. God told him to. God said, I'm going to do something through your life, Hosea, and you're going to show Israel, all the people who look up to you, because you're one of my prophets, they're going to look up to you, and I want you to go buy your wife back. She's a prostitute, and I want you to go, I guess you'd say her father was her pimp. He went to the door, knocked on the door, and said, I want to buy her back. It's going to cost you. Okay. Whatever it costs, I'll give. He took her by the hand, walked down the city street, said, you're not leaving anymore. You're staying in my house. You are my wife. Come back home with me. You mean you're going to forgive me and everything's going to be okay? Yep. Come on. Could you believe that? How could anybody do that? Because he was satisfied. I'm satisfied in God. He called me to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give forgiveness. I'm going to show who God is to these people. I'm going to follow him completely. I obey him. I know him. I honor him. I am satisfied with God. I am his instrument. He can use me however he wants to. And he found a complete life. Awesome life. Job. There it is. What can I say? I mean, he's satisfied. He didn't even own a Bible. There wasn't even the law written yet. He didn't have anything but some experience with God, that God is speaking and communicating, and all he knows is he's supposed to sacrifice to God, honor him, and let his life be set apart. He owns a huge ranch, has a bunch of kids. And all of a sudden, he lost all of his kids. They all died. The house fell on him from a storm. Raiders came and stole all of his animals. All of his servants ran away, and people took over his land. And then all of a sudden, he wakes up, and he has all these sores all over him. And it hurts so bad that he takes one of those red clay pots, you know, that you plant plants in, and when they fall over, they bust real easy. Well, he took one of them and he scraped his skin. Oh, it worse than poison ivy. worse than anything you can imagine. Boils on the bottom of his feet, on his bottom, on his back, under his arms, in his, on his face, his ears, his eyes, all over his body. And he's sitting there and he has three friends. And these three friends are the worst friends you could ever imagine. They just look at him for a couple of days before they said anything. They just look at his face and they couldn't believe anybody could live and be this way. Do you know what Job's response was? Listen to this. Listen real careful. Job's response was, I came into the world with nothing. I will leave with nothing. Glory be to God. Can you believe anybody would do that, would say that, would live like that? How can he do that? Because he was satisfied with God. Oh, I'll tell you one name that you never hear. He had a daughter. Later on, he got all of his possessions back and doubled. He got a big house. He got more land. He had more donkeys than anyone. He had more goats and sheep and camels, and he had lots of servants and all of his kids. He had kids again. He had three daughters, and the youngest daughter's name was Karen. Did you know that? There's a Karen in the Bible. And Karen inherited from her father. Did you know that women never inherited anything? In fact, the second born never inherited anything. Only the firstborn inherited everything. All of Job's children all got equal shares, even Karen, the youngest daughter. Can you believe that? How could he do that? Because he's satisfied in God. Very quickly, I want us to see something, and I want you to turn with me to Psalm 16. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you one verse found in the New Testament. And it's, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. This verse was written by Paul, who had healed people, brought people back to life again, had worked in people's lives in powerful ways. And Paul had a sickness. No one knows what the sickness was. Some people thought that maybe his eyesight was bad. Some people thought it was an emotional problem that he had. Who knows? We don't know what his problem was. But if anybody could get healing, it would be Paul. So Paul's laying in bed one night. He says, you know what? This is hurting me bad. I can't be a good missionary for you, Jesus, with this problem. Would you heal me? Did you hear me? I still got it. So next week, he went back to God. And he thought, maybe I've been sinning or something. Maybe I hadn't done something right. So he made sure everything is right with God. Dear God, would you heal me? Still got it. Then he went a third time to God. And he said, I don't know what to do. I mean, you have used me an awesome way. I've seen 2,000 people healed. I saw Eutychus get up off the street and he was dead and come back to life. I mean, you're hearing me. I just prayed for somebody today and they were healed. Will you heal me? Still got it. Then we get this verse. My grace is sufficient. In your weakness, you find out that I am strong. Okay, I'll keep it. I'm satisfied in you, God. I'm satisfied in who you are. Look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16. In Psalm 16, we have, and I'll just real quickly give you these steps that are here of how to be satisfied in our life. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people of the land are the true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Two of the things that we find that give satisfaction in our spiritual life is making God our refuge, being alone and calling on the Lord, knowing who he is, that I run to him to be satisfied in the Lord. He would be the first place we come. Not texting it to all our friends and putting it on Facebook and putting it out there and getting everybody. The place I go, my refuge, is God. I run to him. David knew this better than anyone. He's the one that wrote this psalm. I go to God. When he wakes you up in the middle of the night, You go to him alone. You get everything away from you. You sit there and you listen to him. He's the one that lifts you. He's the one that can do miracles in your life. He's the one that can transform you. He is my refuge. Then he says something else that's so vitally important, and it's a reason that we are here and we are family here today. The godly people, I like hanging around them. It encourages me. Men, come Tuesday night. Women, come to the Bible studies. Get involved in the ministries that the women have. Come on Wednesdays, Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, come. And we get to know each other. And the godly people, they encourage me. Why does that encourage me in my satisfaction of God? Because then I hear from you, and I hear from you how God has lifted you, what he's done in your life, how he's moved. And I say to myself, I want to be satisfied like that too. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhort or encourage one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. Encourage each other in your faith. I hear it from you. So often I have heard your stories, and sometimes I say, I can't believe that you made it. I can't believe that you've gone through those things. And you're coming to God, and you know God, and you walk with God, and you're close to God. How amazing that is. As you go down in these verses, something else that he says in verse 5, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. This defaces that whole thought that as a Christian, we're supposed to be in this humble place of owning nothing, doing nothing, just barely getting by. No. Right here, he said, everything I have is from you. You have blessed me with this. And the difference here is that he recognizes that God has prospered him, that God has done this, and God did it to glorify himself. And I'm satisfied with how God gives, how he provides, how he takes care of me, how all good things are from the Lord. Satisfied in him. I come complete in him. I desire him more than anything else. Then as it continues on, it says, I know the Lord is always with me. No wonder my heart is glad. I can be happy. I can't imagine the problems that David ran into outside of his family problems, which are unbelievable what he went through, but things in the kingdom, grumbling, complaining, hardships, things that people didn't like, things that people do like, things that they want changed, different things in the government, how David isn't a good ruler like someone else was, how this is different, they don't like change, all these things. And David had to deal with all of that. And you know what he says? My God's always with me. Even though Absalom, my own son, is trying to kill me right now, God is still with me. Even though my one son had incest with his sister and all the problem, and another son killed that son, God is still with me. Even though my wives don't encourage me and how they are distant and how they try tearing me down, God is still with me. How everything has changed around me, everything that I had value in, God is still with me. Why? Because I'm satisfied in him. I know him. He is my God. I hold on to him and I recognize it. How does that happen? It's by calling on him. God, show me yourself. I have never yet. I think that I'm a nothing. Compared to some of you, you are awesome. And so for God to do anything in my life, I think it is a miracle. But I have never, ever, ever, in all the years that I've been alive, I've known who God is, been raised in a Christian family, been around all this stuff, times I've gotten really, really low, I have never, ever seen God abandon me in a daily prayer that I'd give to him. There were times I would say to God, I can't make it today. I'm just not doing good. Will you show yourself? I have never, ever seen them fail. It might be that somebody walks by and shares a Bible verse. It might be that something happens. I pick something up. I see something. I hear a song. Something works out that wasn't going to work out. And I know that he did it. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus, that you did that. I praise your holy name for who you are. Sometimes I do that even now. Sometimes it's a board. It's something that didn't work out. It's something falling down. It's something that didn't turn out like I want. Jesus, will you help in this? I got to do this. And all of a sudden it works. And in spite of myself, it works. And I say, thank you. You were a good carpenter. Thank you very much. Praise your holy name. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. David did it all the time. Here's the last verse. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Verse 11, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever. David was 100% satisfied with God in his life. And all of his mess ups in life, of all the stuff that didn't work out, of all the stuff that he couldn't change, the people he couldn't change, the sin he was involved in, the adultery, the murder, the lies that he told, all that stuff. He never stayed in that place very long. And he ran back to God because he knew God was the only thing that could pick him up and keep him going. And God said, you know what? Of all the men that have ever lived on earth, David brings me great pleasure. He's satisfied in me. He knows me. I love David. I see myself in David. David works a work that I have happen. Are you satisfied? Is Jesus my treasure? Only Jesus. Let's close in a song today. I want you to think about these words that we've spoke, and it may be that God is calling you in the middle of the night to sit with him. It may be that God is calling you to look for him in your life and say, God, would you encourage me today?
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee, or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.